Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 96 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Biscardian. As always, I am joined by Megan Peters and Christian Hoffer for another week of Pokemon goodness.
Hello.
Welcome back, everybody.
I am here.
I am here.
Sure are.
Hey.
This is a show all about Pokemon. If you like Pokemon, congratulations, you're in the right place. This show is available every Monday wherever podcasts can be found. If you want to watch live and get involved in the chat, a lot of great chatters happening on Twitch. www.twitch.tv/comicbook is where you can go. Otherwise, you can find us also streaming on Facebook and YouTube as well. But the community and the chat is happening on Twitch. Anyway, slow week. A little bit.
I mean, they needed a break.
Christian appropriately titled this episode, The Calm After the Storm, which is very true. But we do have a lot of fun things to talk about. And I'm very curious. Our deep dive today, I'm sure, is going to be a fairly lively one. So we'll see how that goes. But without further ado, let's just jump right into it. First question first. Obviously, who cares? Who did Community Day this week?
I did Community Day.
I did not.
What did you think of Community Day, Christian?
I mean, I think it was better than previous Community Days. I mean, here's my thing is we got a new shiny. We got a Pokemon that was useful, that, you know, it's going to be useful in PvE or PvP, not PvE. So I ended up, you know, I hadn't gotten a Talonflame before, you know, this weekend. So I think it was a success. I'm assuming that you have different opinions about this.
I didn't buy a ticket for it. I did end up with some shinies. I got two. So I was okay with that. But I had bought the ticket, I probably would have gotten a lot more. But for those who didn't get the ticket, the shiny rate seemed a little bit lower than previous Community Days, because some of the other ones I had done, it was 4 in, boom, shiny, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is I can see it. So I imagine there may have been some load balancing there. Christian, is that a possibility or no?
I think you had bad luck. I think your shiny rate was about the same as what your shiny rate would have been when pulling, Shining Legend cards or Shining Fates cards. I think it's about the same. I mean, I got 5 or 6 shinies. I'm pulling it up now. I got plenty of shinies. My wife got a shiny on the second one.
Oh, nice. So.
You know, I think in this particular case, I think it was just like random draw. Okay, I ended up only with 4, so not quite as many as I thought. I do think that maybe your experience, because you did Pokemon Go, the Pokemon Go tour.
Probably.
And I think maybe your experience was a little bit skewed based on that. I mean, there
could very well be it. But so I don't know. And this is more me asking because I didn't bother to do my own homework. So I'm sorry. Mm. But was the Talonflame that is the one that you were talking about that has had the special move was only got that if you got the ticket, right?
No,
because that was the final. So any of them that you caught during that time? I guess I thought that was the thing, and that's why I was like, oh, that's really weird. So I am way off base here on this past weekend's community day, and I have no idea what I'm talking about apparently. So
It's like when you were like, yeah, let's talk about how community day sucks now. I'm like, how?
Well,
like this conversation was like, you know, this was the one that stopped the backslide. Like the last few community days have absolutely been underwhelming. Like yeah. Rosalia, you know, if they hadn't loaded Rosalia or Roserod up with that, the double exclusive moves, that would have been up. And there's been some other ones that were pretty underwhelming too, like the Machop one was a joke.
The thing that the tasks. And again, now that you mentioned that, like I'm probably still coming off my Kanto Fest high. The tasks didn't feel like they're just like, okay, you know, obviously just keep it. And like the rewards didn't necessarily seem as too appealing, right? But I guess if it was only a dollar, all the stuff that you're getting if you completed them, which is probably easy to get, actually makes sense now that I think about it.
Yeah, you're specifically complaining about the ticket. Yes. There was some chatter about how the rewards for buying the ticket have decreased. So I would be inclined to agree with you there. They did seem pretty underwhelming compared to past stuff. I didn't buy the ticket, so I don't care. Yeah.
What was that like? Because I remember looking on the day, looking to see what the rewards were, or just like what the tasks were going to be. And I was looking at the rewards, and I'm like, look, I already have inventory management issues. Okay, so like a lot of the stuff here, I don't know as if I really need. Now, like I said, granted, it was only a dollar, and so if you were going to pay a dollar for some of the stuff in game, you are getting a deal plus the shiny plus the thing, but none of it was like, well, I can probably just get these through other means, right? Like if I just did some raids or anything else. And so I don't know, but anyway, I got my shinies, and you know, it's a good looking shiny though too. Like that's another thing. Like it's actually a very good looking shiny. So.
Oh yeah, like you know, the Fletchling line has some of my favorite shinies. When I started like the entire like I'm going to start trying to collect shinies in my main series Pokemon games, Fletchling was the second one I got. Yeah. I went for.
Nice.
Yeah, I had total intentions of taking part in this because I was we had this conversation. I mean, we literally just had the conversation of like the kind of effort you have to put into it to get the things that are worth it from the community day, but I was trying on wedding dresses and I figured out that very shortly into the process that by the end of that try on session, you just want to sleep for 6 years afterwards. So all my best intentions were to go to that appointment and then go to the park. And then I just went home and slept. So yeah. I had nothing to contribute except for that anecdote.
Yeah. So, all right, well then let's move on to the next topic. The Pokemon trading card game beats Magic.
Yeah, so this woof. Game. Go ahead.
Oh, I just said woof. That's a big thing.
Yeah, so this comes from one of the trade websites that covers the tabletop hobby. Basically, TCG Player unveiled its February deal data for sealed product prices, which basically means, you know, new stuff, not the secondary market. And it was Pokemon that absolutely crushed all competitors and claimed all five of the sealed products.
Big deal. Magic also just had like a new set come out too, right? Like that's
that's like the that that is the what was like, you know, so shocking about it is Kaldheim, which is the new Magic set, doesn't make an appearance on the, in terms of the TCG player platform. And, you know, this is one website's data, but it's the largest online retailer of cards. And, you know, Magic doesn't show up until number 9. You know, and so it's, and, you know, not only is it just, you know, Shining Fates was like a big seller, but, you know, like, you know, it includes, you know, XY Evolutions is selling for hundreds of dollars on there. Mm-hmm. And it's just,
is that back in print? Is that why it's there?
No, it's just because people just are trying to get their hands on, like, you know, it's because that has a Charizard card, you know,
Wow. That's kind of insane. I mean, it's great. I mean, look, I think so. Okay. So then how much of this are we basically crediting to the speculation of it all?
I think that it's not as much speculation because XY Evolutions cards are worthless. Yeah. They genuinely, you know, like I've got like 2 or 3 complete sets. I think a lot of it, some of this is being driven by breaking open Pokemon card boxes is like all the freaking rage on YouTube. Yeah. And you know, that is what's driving it, I think, more so. And so, you know, and the big takeaway on this for me was Battle Styles, which hasn't come out yet, is, you know, came number 3 on the TCG player. So it means that there's going to be a buying frenzy for those cards too.
Yeah.
It's going to be so freaking, you know, crazy. And you know, part of this is, you know, we talked about this a little bit last episode, a couple episodes. Yep. You know, the part of it is that because Magic is driven much more by an in-person experience, you know, those card sales, a lot of those is like Friday Night Magic. You know, you go to the, you know, board game store and you play Magic and you buy, you know, you do like, you know, the different, like, you know, drafts and stuff like that. Well, none of that's going on right now. So that is going, you know, just falling. And, you know, Magic the Gathering Arena, which is the online game, is soaring by comparison.
Yeah. I mean, I think that also probably has more to do with the Magic decline than I think we may necessarily want to give it credit for. This is that game is getting so incredibly popular, especially, I mean, like, yeah, just because like it's got the competitive nature baked right into it, and it's such a better playing experience than anything the TCG, the Pokemon TCG has now.
Oh, absolutely.
I can see a lot of people flocking to that. Is there a mobile version of the Magic game yet or no?
There is a beta available for Android. It is expected to come out here in 2Q 2021, so sometime in the next 3 to 4 months. And everyone's expecting it to like blow up. So like right now it's available on Android on beta, but like once it hits iOS, like it's going to be freaking game over. That is going to be such a huge thing. Like I personally, like I play, there's a card game that I play called Legends of Runeterra, that I've recently gone back into. And I like it because you do not have to spend very much money, if any money, to like, you know, enjoy it. Like you obviously get more, but you know, Magic the Gathering, like I took a look at how like Magic the Gathering kind of works, and like, it's basically like you're playing Magic for realsies, where you're buying the booster sets and stuff like that. And like, yeah, there's an online component, and you know, it's a little bit different than us like going into Target and buying like a booster pack of cards. But I think that a lot of people, and we know like some of our coworkers on comicbook.com are big Magic players on Arena, and you know I think that's just, you know, it's cannibalizing sales a little bit, but at the same time, I think for a lot of Magic fans, and Pokemon could be the same way. Like, I have no one to play Pokemon trading card.
That's
game
true.
With, you know, yeah. Like unless I want to go in and like, even when I go into the game store now, I'm almost always the oldest person. You know, back before COVID, like, you know, I was 32, 33. before COVID hit. And, you know, most of the adults there were either college kids or just out of college kids. So, you know, it's not as, you know, that in-game store aspect just isn't as appealing to me because, you know, and listen, Pokemon is
I don't want to get my, for kids. My butt beat by a 12-year-old.
That's not how that works. You don't play the 12-year-old's gym.
I know.
There's leagues. But I will say at my local game store, you should have more faith in yourself, Jim. I'm sure you swindle a couple wins. But my local game store, I think it's just really interesting. I mean, one, like normally I'd be used to at my local game store in the back behind the register, they have like this kind of clear box that they just like put like all the like really expensive, like, you know, statues and figures that you get that are hundreds and hundreds of dollars. The last time I went like a couple weeks ago, it was all Pokemon cards because so many people were trying to shoplift like booster decks and like just all this stuff. And I did get to see a Shining Fates booster set and I was like, oh my God, it's there.
You saw it in the wild.
I saw it. I was like, oh my God.
That is basically like finding a shiny Pokemon in the wild.
Yeah. And I did ask if I could buy it, but they just had it on display. They weren't actually selling it. I guess someone at the store who works there, that was maybe theirs. I have no idea. But I think it's also interesting that I've noticed traditionally at that game store before COVID, I was kind of one of the older people around. But now when I went in, I felt like I was one of the younger people around. I feel like a lot of older people, at least who are in this general area of where I live, have really gotten back into it because they have run out of other things to do in quarantine.
Well, that's right. And that's it. That's the biggest thing.
They were so into it. And I mentioned it to the guy behind the counter and I was like, man, I feel young here today. And he was like, man, I know. So it's going to be interesting, especially when what you said, the Magic app comes out for iOS because that's what's keeping me from kind of exploring that more robustly.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. All right. We got more trading card game stuff to talk about a little bit later, so we won't do it all here. Let's get through some of the rest of the news and then take our break. So, Yamper butt boxers.
Yes. Corgi butts.
Literally everything you need to know about what we're about to talk about is just there. Everything we are about to talk about is icing on the cake.
Yeah. Pokemon Company in Japan has released a set of men's boxer briefs that has Corgi's butt, that has a Corgi butt on the back. It's Yamper's butt. So you can basically just have underwear that gives you Yamper's butt. That's really the entire piece there. It's super cute. I mean, I don't have much use for it, but aesthetically, I can appreciate it.
I love them. I think they're amazing, so and I hope they come to the States because they're incredible.
Oh, they have to. There's no way. The Pokemon Company definitely sees what's being talked about. And after Comic Book published our story about it, I saw it so many places. People being like, Corgi butts, Corgi butts. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when.
Producer Richard, if you can hear us in the background, I know you've got the thumbnail for the episode. If you don't mind tossing that up so we can show. There they are right there. That's it. That's everything you need to know about the Yamper butt boxers. So hopefully they come to the States. Hopefully we can get them because they're incredible.
Also, as something Hoffer did not put on the list coming to the States, if you do watch Pokemon Journeys, the last final episodes did come out at the end of last week. So you can watch a bunch of new English dubbed episodes of Pokemon Journeys, including when Ash gets to go to Alola and meets his baby brother. So it's good. I haven't gotten to watch a ton of it since I was very busy this weekend. But I did get to watch the Alola episodes because I was determined, and it's still just A+.
We're admittedly super far behind on Journeys. We just watched the Gengar episode this weekend, and Nora felt so bad for that Gengar that she is now a Gengar fan, and that like I couldn't be happier because I love Gengar. So
there you go.
She was just she's like that poor Gengar. And like but that whole episode is just a series of like just sad memes, right? Just like just the Gengar just sitting alone doing various in various places. I just want to screen cap all of them.
Yeah.
When he's so like perfect. By himself sitting on the steps, that was yes. maybe my favorite meme of last year. So many good memes came from that screenshot.
When I see Sad Gengar sitting on the steps, I think of Jim. Like every time.
All right. Interesting image association.
Well, great. Thank you. I swear I am much happier in my day to day.
I was about to say, the smile's there, but the eyes are dead.
Dang.
Wow.
All right.
All right. Moving on to the last news item, because we do have to take our break. There are some YouTube shenanigans happening. We covered one of the first ones where someone had bent the chunky Pikachu, the rainbow rare Pikachu from the last set. And this time around, there is a video going around someone bending the shiny Charizard.
I hate this trend, just for the record. I think it's dumb. It's really dumb. I'm sorry. Like, you know, like this is like the epitome of please pay me to do something stupid. And then I do something stupid, and then I you know, and you know, it's all performative BS, you know. It just annoys me. Like, you know, like there are right. so many kids, like, you know, on these, like, the card bending trends, like there are so many kids who, like, you know, would
just want the cards.
Yeah, yeah, it's like you're just a
I do need to call out Acme White in the comments. Thickachu is now what I will forever call him. That's perfect.
So, Thickachu.
Thickachu.
Yes. All right. Thickachu.
Now, when we get back, we are going to talk about the trading card game and Pokemon Go collaboration, what that could mean, and then we'll see where that conversation takes us. Plus, Pokemon Fact of the Week. All that and more when we get back.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, everybody, to A Wild Podcast has appeared, everyone's favorite Pokemon podcast, available at comicbook.com every Monday, wherever podcasts can be found, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, you name it. We are there. You can also watch us live every Monday on Twitch, www.twitch.tv/comicbook at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. across the pond. I have more packs of Shining Fates, so I'm going to open one up while we talk about the Pokemon trading card game and Pokemon Go collaboration. This is something that we have kind of like been theorizing a bit for now, right? Like, when was this going to happen? And sure enough, over the weekend, we got news that it's happening. Christian, want to give us the details?
Professor Willow is becoming a Pokemon Go Pokemon trading card. That's the big announcement. The Professor Willow is going to become a Pokemon trading card in May. So with May release, not the Battle Styles, but in the following set. The kind of intriguing thing is that they said that this was the first part of the collaboration. Which implies that there will be more stuff. Now, whether that means more NPCs, like more Pokemon Go NPCs and make it into the Pokemon trading card game, that's the most likely thing.
We got to get some Team Mystic cards. That's really all I care about.
Yes.
Well, that's kind of the theory. There is a that's the most likely thing, because here is the kind of like the interesting thing. Is, you know, because there is this like multi-month delay, between Japan's Pokemon Go Pokemon card releases and, you know, everywhere else. you know, the fact that they specifically said that it's going to be in the May release, then this is going to be, you know, the United States May release, you know, that kind of adds like an extra level of like, all right, what exactly is going on here? Because the entire announcement was really weird. Like Niantic was the one who announced it, you know, Pokemon didn't have anything to do with it. It's mm-mm. all been coming through like the Niantic channels. So it's intriguing. But that's kind of the extent of the actual story.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like I'm just going to go through these while we're talking. Let's see what we get. We'll see if we get some shiny luck. Nope. Eldegoss. Nope.
Nope. Tropius. Oh,
nope. Hey, another ball guy. Yanma. Snome. Koufant.
Another.
Grookey.
There might be.
Uzeel. Let's go with all the Floatiels I got. Reverse Hollow Rotom. And wow, a Yawn Mega. Wow, so that
Mega. Whoa. Yawn Mega. More like Yawn Mega.
Thank you, Megan. That was A plus. Maybe we'll do one later, but that was really freaking
You're
depressing.
Welcome. That's okay, it. Well, that's all I got for you.
Oh, that's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It's incredible. Here's the thing about that announcement that, you know, with kind of the feeling I get from it. It feels very much like a licensed partner coming in and saying, look, we're getting in on the trading card game thing too, right? Where it's not necessarily a Pokemon trading card game thing, but look, if this is something that helps crack the door open for some more stuff, I think that, you know, it could be a cool thing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, but I think the other thing that you could see that I could see happening, right? Like, so let's say this is fairly successful ish or whatever. What if they start putting, you know, and I bring this up because it's something that is happening on the Fortnite front with DC, where what if the Pokemon trading card company put a code in two packs to get cosmetics or whatever for Pokemon Go? DC and Epic are doing this for Fortnite, where DC is doing DC Comics, publisher of Batman and Superman, not Spider-Man, are doing there's an event happening in the Fortnite game. For anyone who doesn't follow Fortnite, I'm trying to make this as straightforward as possible. Basically, DC Comics is publishing a mini series, 6 issues, mm-hmm. that with every issue, you get a code for digital goods in the game that are only available through these, through these comics, or if you are a member of their digital comics subscription service, kind of their like Netflix style DC Comics or whatever, you get the codes. You get the codes for free. Now, here is a thing. So like that, a lot of people initially rolled their eyes at it because they're like, "Well, this thing is never going to sell." I think underestimating the fact that like people who play Fortnite, and look, Fortnite's a game that skews a bit younger for sure. I think there's going to be a lot of foot traffic into stores if they know they're going to be able to get cosmetics, licensed cosmetics, right? These are not just like crappy, you know, random Fortnite ones. These are like Batman, Harley Quinn, you know, cool DC cosmetics for free. Or not for free. You pay the $4.99 for the comic and then you get it, right? If this came to the trading card game and Pokemon Go, what would you guys think about that?
I mean, I think that would be something very interesting, because it's not, you know, we've seen a little, one of these days you're going to get a shiny, not going to be anytime soon, but maybe one of these days. You know, I think it would be interesting, you know, an interesting cross promotion. It's not outside the realm of possibility. They already have the ability to put codes in the booster packs. You know, I think that mainly this would be more of a production issue, if that makes sense. Like, you know, the actual like phasing it in and, you know, sticking stuff in. It wouldn't be the worst thing the Pokemon Go's ever done. I'd much rather, you know, pay $4 for 10 Pokemon cards and also a code. In terms of the, you know, and also there's a Facebook comment talking about comicbook.com, yeah, just literally undersold comic books. Let me tell you, It'd be a lot, you know, the Pokemon trading card, you know, crossover with Pokemon Go would do a lot better than a Fortnite crossover with comic books, because most people playing Fortnite have no idea how to get comic books.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's a topic for potentially a different show. But I think what it boils down to. I'm going to tie these two things together. Watch. Things like these, right, have the potential to drive enough new people into a certain space, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's. I can remember as a kid when like these like promos or whatever, I would ask my parents like, hey, I need to get to Toys R Us so I can, like, even using Pokemon, for example, right? When they would just do, you know, the giveaways or whatever. Like I don't care how we found a way to get there, but like, I really wanted it. And so could they take me, kind of thing. And so if you are a kid playing Fortnite and you want some of this stuff, because it's going to be advertised in the game. So it's not like it's a thing that, is flying under the radar. It's going to be advertised in the game. Kids are going to see it and they're going to be like, hey, let's find me a comic book store because I want this stuff. And look, if the comic does the job that we hope it does and gets, you know, that fan who may not have read comic books leading into this thing to read and start going on a journey that way, then yeah, absolutely. Like that is a way that this could win and that's the same other thing. That's the other thing too, right? Like this could be a thing where how millions of people are playing Pokemon Go. A lot of people are playing the trading card game, but like, more people are playing Go than are playing the trading card game. And if they were to do something like this, I can see that driving some fresh faces, especially if they tied it into like Battle Academy, right? Or found some way to like sell those, like the startup game. Mm-hmm. That's the key, right? That's like the synergy that you all hope. And I know synergy is a terrible, like I hate that kind of jargon, but that's hopefully like the ecosystem that can get fed by doing stuff like this.
What I genuinely would like to see I feel like the best thing would be if we had a real Pokemon trading card game, like mobile app, and you know that's the tie-in. Like I feel that would be the most beneficial. I think that codes and the booster packs that tie into Pokemon Go, definitely a thing. I think the potential, the cross appeal is a little bit more limited than you think. Like there is definitely a cross section between Pokemon Go players and Pokemon trading card game players. And I think that, there's definitely room for growth. Like there are definitely people who have, who like Pokemon Go, who would also enjoy the Pokemon trading card game. However, I do think that the audiences are a little bit more separated than you'd probably think. You take a look at the average age of a Pokemon Go player is much higher than the average age of a Pokemon trading card game player. Mm-hmm. I think those are all things to consider about, but I think you're absolutely right. There's definitely room for growth and cross appeal that just never the Pokemon company this is partially because the Pokemon franchise is actually a collection of different companies.
That's the biggest thing, and that's the thing to try and pull everyone together. Okay, I just opened a new pack, so let's see
how we go. That's not shiny. Mm-hmm. Also, okay. Not all shiny. Right, those are people. Krishna. Oh, look at that Cormorant, blue Cromorant.
Another Grookey.
Oh, one more Pekko.
Spinarak, Boozeal.
Wow.
A Rowlet. First Hollow Rusted Sword, still not as tiny. And Cinderace. One of the better cards I've pulled.
Like I said, one day. One day your shiny will come.
I must be having terrible luck. I think out of all the packs we have opened over the course of the show, I have only gotten one shiny card, and it was a freaking Aracuda.
Yep.
I do like how you had the Aracuda, instantly available. You had that out. you had that out to show off.
So it's right here is my one shiny card in Aracuda. Now, one of the things that we were kind of talking about, right? Like you were saying, like if a Pokemon company ever got off their butt and developed a strong online version of the trading card game, what would it do to set it apart from from other things? Like obviously we talked about Magic, and Magic's got its own thing up and running. But it's been funny because one of the biggest things that you can do is the rise of NFT, right?
Oh,
and here we go. We're going down this rabbit hole. NFT, for anyone who doesn't know, is non-fungible token, which is basically a cryptocurrency kind of it's not a kind of thing. It's a cryptocurrency kind of thing, right? Where, Ethereum and your Bitcoins and all of that. And what you're seeing is, especially in the art world and, with companies like the NBA, and I think the NBA and Top Shot is probably the best example that we'll use for right here, where basically is if you buy into a pack, like a digital card, and you get digital collectibles, which for the NBA are basically like player cards or moments, right?
Yeah, they're all video clips.
They're basically video clips that you can then sell in this market, and it's tagged. There is a finite number of this stuff, and so with this rising in the collectibles world and conversation, a lot of people are wondering whether or not this will inevitably come to kind of the geek space of collectibles, whether it's Marvel trading cards, Pokemon trading cards, Magic, or whatever. And now, I think the thing to say, and I think right off the bat, it would make more sense if there was a kind of divergent path or a totally different set of things for you to kind of get involved in and do it and not have it tied so closely to the kind of pure fundamentals of like the actual game, right? Because I think I don't know if it works for like collectible stuff. I don't know if it works for things that are actual games to play.
Yeah.
And so like, as you guys remember though, like back way back when those, I think it was Tops had they basically like collectible training cards that were like tied to the anime when it first came out. And so some of them had like screenshots of saying like, mm-hmm. I think yeah. like that stuff makes total sense for this kind of thing. For the actual trading card game, I think it makes zero sense.
Yeah. So, all right. The first thing before we dive into the NFT discussion, I do need to point out, from an ethical standpoint, NFTs are awful. It is, they are a huge waste of, energy. Generating the system that this all works is the equivalent of, using a laptop for 2,500 years. So this is an incredibly wasteful, just an incredibly wasteful system. Cryptocurrency and crypto art now are the cost of the system that these things run on is just, awful, just absolutely terrible. All of that aside, and like we can't talk about NFTs unless you bring up like the real like ecological costs, their environmental hazards. And I think that is the big reason why we will never see things like Pokemon or Magic dive into those. The other thing is with Pokemon is a franchise for children. And I bring this up constantly, but the Pokemon franchise, I don't think will ever sell something. Like there's a difference between like we've licensed out premium figures. Okay. I think there's a big difference between that and, Yeah, we're going to go and put on a, you know, digital Pokemon card that there's only 50. You know, we're going to officially license, like, basically the Pokemon secondary market. It's just not something that the Pokemon company really seems to have any interest in. Like, you know, Magic, I could see them trying it, to be honest. That is how that game is going. They have the secret layer drops, which are basically real world versions of NFTs, where they're like, we're only going to print like 5,000 copies of these, and if you want one, you better sign up now. And we've got like alternate Godzilla art, and like people like will go and kill each other for these cards. So you know, I could see. Go ahead.
I say like that. That's the thing too, right? But they're like, couldn't. I don't necessarily know if the Pokemon company would jump into it, but if they had a licensee partner who would want to jump into it, because like I say, I think those secret lair drops that Magic does is like is a perfect example, because those are sub collections curated, right? Mm-hmm. that have licensed partners that are basically the physical, you know, a physical version of the NFTs. And the other thing too is like, there, I'm sure down the road there will be a physical digital connection between some of this stuff, but I think that's still further down the line. But let's say General Mills, right, does the Pokemon, they're doing promo cards, whatever, or McDonald's, right? Any of these licensed partners, where if they wanted to get in, if they facilitated the process of it, and these are, they're basically capsule collections, right? Or like, you know, no one is using any of these promo cards for the game or in gameplay, or they're not in any decks. And so could that be a route that they go? Now look, the whole world, the whole idea of digital collectibles and I know I'm gonna eat, you know, I will probably eat my lunch down the road once this becomes the thing, to me doesn't necessarily make a whole lick of sense. But there's a nut, but like, look, there are people dropping a ton of money on this NBA stuff, but right. Megan, you haven't necessarily said anything yet. What are some of your thoughts?
I mean, I think just all of us in this conversation, and most of the people who are listening to this podcast, they understand that the Pokemon company takes a long time to look at market trends, to look at what's happening. They do not make spur of the decision choices when it comes to how they disseminate and distribute product, whether it's the anime or video games or merchandise. They always have test areas, and more often than not, those test areas are in Japan. And speaking from kind of digital collectibles, NFT, there is that kind of collectability with like mobile apps, but in terms of like what you're mentioning with NFTs in Japan, that's like a super, super weird thing. And so I feel like no matter what, whether, you know, McDonald's rolled up and said, I will roll you this entire, you know, campaign to do NFTs, the Pokemon company doesn't have to do a thing about it. I do not think that the Pokemon company is ultimately going to do that until it has a complete and full understanding of what that would make them look like as a brand, like long term. So they're not a company that just like jumps on the nearest trend necessarily. So I would be shocked if they got in on it, because they really kind of tailor their, you know, their merchandise and their kind of talent to things that are inherently based for kids, like Hoffer said, which is kind of weird for NFTs, and then primarily that test well in Japan. And this is just such a like weird thing over there currently. Now, if this trend continues for another year, maybe 2 years, I could definitely see the Pokemon company getting in on it. I'm not sure what it would look like. Definitely, I think it'd be weird if it was like the card game based. But I would be shocked if it would be in any way imminent.
The thing that with this entire NFT discussion, like the other weird conversation is, and you know, part of this is, you know, like with Top Shot, which is, you know, this is how this entire conversation got started with, mm-hmm. you know, oh, well, you know, eventually, you know, Top Shot is making all this money on what is the equivalent to digital trading cards. Then that's really what they are. They're digital trading cards.
Right.
And digital trading card apps exist, right? Like Topps has a whole ecosystem, like where you can buy digital packs and whatever. And like it, you can sell some of those digital cards on, like, people have sold digital cards on eBay. Like, that's a thing that happens. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like that, the world exists. But the world as far as like NFT stuff goes is the emerging market where a ton of big money is being spent. But sorry, Christian, go ahead.
Yeah, no. Well, and you know, that's the thing is, and I mean, this kind of ties in, it's all about the platform. Like, the reason why Top Shot is doing so well is, you know, Top Shot has a marketplace. You know, you can only sell Top Shot stuff on this marketplace, and then you display it. And the reason why there's a lot of money is it's because, you know, people like, you know, like Mark Cuban, a bunch of people with tons of money to burn. It's just their new playground. It's what they're doing to be goofballs. So, you know, let's you know, that's the qualifier there. A lot of these, like this NFT stuff, you know, it's the same thing with, you know, like right now there's like, you know, digital artists are starting to get in on this too. Like, you know, we've seen, like, you know, because Boss Logic sells some of his
Boss
stuff.
Boss Logic has gotten into it.
And, you know, now we're starting to see like comics people selling digital comic strips that they've made through NFT.
Yep.
They're getting a lot of pushback, but, you know, again, that's a totally different conversation. You know, the thing with this is, you know, that is because it's the equivalent of, you know, going and buying, you know, a piece of actual art, you know? So, you know, that's the thing. And, you know, there's that weird collector's mentality, but what I don't understand with a lot of this is like, how are you going to display this? You know, the Pokemon trading card game
frame.
Yeah. Well, that's like the thing is, it's like, I don't understand with anything outside of Top Shot, because Top Shot has the platform, what you do with a, you know, this.
Right.
You just have it. You tell your friends, I have this thing, and you can click this link and take a look at it, but it's mine.
Yeah, and so I feel like if something like, and we could say this doesn't even need to involve NFT. If we wanted like a digital Pokemon card game experience, they would need a platform that people have confidence in.
Yes.
I think that's the conversation that's worth having. Like, the NFT stuff is weird. And it's, you know, it's weird in like 15 different ways. But like you said, Tops has, you know, cards that, you know, you can buy and sell digitally. You know, I think that, you know, there would definitely be a market for the Pokemon trading card game or Magic the Gathering. Let's face it. We say it's Pokemon, but it's going to end up being Magic that does.
I think Magic has a bit more flexibility in making decisions like this a bit faster than the Pokemon company does, for the exact reasons that Megan outlined. Look, here's the thing. If it's going to make money, though, like, someone could come in, right? Not Niantic, but someone could come in like Niantic, create a game like Pokemon Go, you built off a system that they had already, and have it be a money machine for everybody. And so you know, it could just be someone coming in like Niantic, making the case and seeing if it works. But enough on that. I want to get to the Pokemon Fact of the Week, which actually is kind of the perfect Pokemon Fact of the Week coming out of this discussion. So, Christian, hit us with it.
Speaking of digital things, this week we're talking about Porygon. Porygon is one of those Pokemon. We've covered Porygon before. In some of our past Pokemon Facts of the Week. But, you know, we're talking about Porygon. He's a digital Pokemon. The first man-made Pokemon, which gets into a weird discussion of what constitutes man-made, because it's like, you know, Grimer was made out of industrial waste. Like, what is Grimer then? But, you know, Porygon was a deliberate man-made creation. The reason why Porygon was created was to explore space. Because, and this one cracks me up, you know, knowing what we know about the Pokemon, you know, about Pokemon now, it's like, there has never been a Pokemon from space before, so we have created Porygon to explore it. And it's like, well, Rayquaza says hello.
Rayquaza is sulking in a corner.
The other thing that I always find fascinating on a more mechanical level is Porygon Z is the only two-tier evolution Pokemon that can be fully evolved at level one.
Yeah.
Oh.
Porygon, I just feel so bad when I think of Porygon, because, I mean, arguably the most famous instance of that Pokemon is its ban. It's general anime ban because of the seizure episodes that happened decades ago. But to this day, Porygon has still not been introduced in the anime. They had a phone case that looked like Porygon in an episode, I think at the end of Sun and Moon. That's literally it. They have erased Porygon from the anime canon in every way. They blame everything on Porygon. Porygon is the official scapegoat. Like, honestly, at this point, I feel like Porygon would be better served becoming a Digimon. Like, at least they would embrace him. Like, at least Porygon would fit in with the Digimon, and they would like Porygon. At this point, Pokemon just, like, shoved it into a corner and was like, oh, well. So.
Yeah, no, the anime
stuff. Shout out Calder. Shout out to Calder 027 in the chat. Clefairy would like to speak to the space manager as well, which is perfect.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
You know, my big joke about Porygon is that, you know, I feel bad because, like, Rotom kind of seems to, like, fulfill the role that Porygon probably was meant to originally fill. Yes,
absolutely.
Because we see Rotom stuff freaking everywhere. And it's like, you know, all of this should have been Porygon.
Porygon is the Microsoft Zune of the Pokemon world. Of the Pokemon world.
Oh, wow. You know,
Rotom came in.
This is why I'm clearly saying the
Apple is the Apple device that everyone knows and loves and has.
That might be the most offensive thing that has ever been said on this.
Exactly. That's why Porygon needs to join Digimon, because Digimon is the alternate monster universe where the Zune succeeded. That is that universe.
You know, that explains. Wow. I can't even. This is just this
conversation took a turn you did not expect.
Just the like, ah, yes, you know, like, in a perfect world, it would have been the Zune. And it's like, oh my God, what is going on?
Nothing is making me feel older than everyone in the comments. It's not a perfect world.
This is just what happened, right? Like, you know,
there's so many people, right?
Or is Porygon more the BlackBerry, right? Until the iPhone came out, BlackBerry still exists.
Zune
was the accurate comparison, but the fact that everyone in the comments is asking what is a Zune is making me feel really outdated. So you
are literally watching Megan age in real time.
Just wrinkles forming everywhere. Yes.
Just withering away as she reads the chat.
But even, like, from a design standpoint, Porygon's not a bad looking, like, not a bad looking. No. His evolutions look awful, but, like, base Porygon is actually a pretty cool looking Pokemon.
I think the Porygon evolutions look freaking hilarious. Speak for yourself. Like, they crack me up.
Okay, but you're laughing at their expense, not because of.
No, it's the natural evolution of, you know, Porygon was made using, you know, like, you know, vectors and stuff, and so now we've smoothed out the vectors, and then the third one is we've gone abstract, you know. Yeah. You know, it's literally just like, I too have attended basic computer computer modeling. I've attended computer modeling class. I know how this works. I've seen Porygon many times, you know, in those classes. What really cracks me up about Porygon, the other funny thing is, like, Porygon also can learn Hyper Beam in all of the different, all of its evolutions, and, but I think Giga Impact is the other thing, like these, like, ultimate moves, because Porygon's been fully evolved every time a new evolution gets introduced. So it can learn all these cool things. Poor Porygon. We here are Porygon fans. I actually have a Porygon. No, I don't have a Porygon. Never mind.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
You don't?
No, I don't. I thought I did, but that was not one of the ones I ended up buying. But, you know, I thought I had one, but nope, do not.
I don't know. Like, look, I got real excited when I found the Porygon Community Day happened, and I got my shiny Porygon and all that. So, like, you know, whatever, it's fine. But I think you don't When was the last time we got, though, a Pokemon? I think Rotom was probably the last one, right? But a Pokemon like Porygon that was just like one that, you know, kind of that synthetic, you know, man-made-ish kind of, you know, digital Pokemon. Like, it's been a while.
No, that's not deliberate. I mean, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if they did too many of it, it becomes Digimon.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Well, I guess they're trying to really avoid that comparison. Also, Digimon have, anyways, that's a different podcast. But yeah, I think it would be Rotom.
Yeah, well, Rotom would be, yeah, I think. Yeah, Majarna is an artificial Pokemon. That's a really good point. Or Magearna, excuse me. God, we have gotten yelled at about, you know, mispronouncing that Pokemon before, and I still say it wrong, and I have to correct myself every time. Yeah, Magearna is a artificial Pokemon. You know, Type Null is a, you know, artificial Pokemon. Those are the only ones that I can think to mind. And, you know, the only one that was made for computers is Porygon. Yeah, Mewtwo. Yeah, Mewtwo. Yeah. But yeah, no, there's a handful of like artificial Pokemon. I think the difference is that those were all like cloning, because cloning was the popular thing in 1996, 1997 when these games came out.
Yeah.
Because of good old Dolly the Sheep. And on that note, I feel very old. So let's end this. That's thing it. Now.
All right. Let's wrap this puppy up. And then for folks in the Twitch chat, we're probably going to raid another channel at the end. So stay tuned for that. But if you are listening and you're thinking to yourself, man, I would love to find a way to support this show, there are a number of ways you can do it. Just tweet people about it. Just say, hey, this is a Pokemon show I like. If you like Pokemon, you should check it out too. Otherwise, you can also leave us a review on iTunes. Reviews go the longest way in helping our discoverability for someone to just like type in Pokemon podcast or whatever. This will pop up. And sometimes we read them on the show. And so I think I have a few saved up. We're only four episodes away from episode 100. And so we're going to read a whole bunch of them on that show, trying to line up some guests for that show as well. So be on the lookout for that. That one's definitely going to be a fun one. Otherwise, like I said, otherwise what you can just do is follow us on Twitch, follow us on Twitter at Pokemon Pod CB. You can find me at Jim Viscardi. You can find Megan at Megan Peters CB and Christian at C Hoffer C Bus. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. We real appreciate it. Until next time, we'll catch you later. Twitch fans, stay around.